Hello and welcome to Full Chemistry, the only podcast that breaks down all the action from the EAFC Pro Leagues. And this week, we are covering not one, but two grand finals. First of all, the Virtual Bundesliga by WoW finals, and then the E-Serie A Tim finals. And I am so excited that we don't have to do this alone. It's not just me and FG. Please reveal Ryan Pessoa.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Welcome, Ryan.
Yeah, welcome. You're so jet set. I can't believe you managed to fit us in.
Yeah, following in the steps of FG, traveling around the place. It's a privilege, obviously. I enjoy it.
What's it like, right? So the traveling, obviously you've done a lot of that traveling as a pro player, but now you're doing it as like a part of the casting team, a man of many, many talents. What's the preparation like the comparison between the two?
Oh, I think obviously playing is different because you spend a lot of time. The most of the time is obviously in practice. The event is sort of the culmination of everything. Whereas obviously on commentary and everything, because I know the players and obviously I watch all the events, I know all the players off by heart, I practiced against them. In terms of preparation, it's almost already done unless I want to dig deep and delve into how they practice, how they prepare, why they chose certain players for their squads.
What about the thinking side of things though? So like as a player, when you're like getting on a plane, going somewhere, feeling a bit more nervous, or you're a bit more nervous?
Do you know what? When I used to play, right, I'd always be nervous the first game. I'm not nervous before, not nervous after. But that's because I always started off poorly. I always lose the first round. So if I just win that first game, I'm on for a good time. If not, then back to the drawing board.
I'm the same as you though. I like to get the first bits out the way and then we're done.
Yeah.
And then we're cooking with gas. Right, what about you?
I'm all right, I'm fine. Same old, same old. Sadly, we're going to talk about the Champions League. My football comes out the Champions League, but I'm completely fine.
But you're in
the
FA Cup finals, aren't you? It's going to be a Manchester Derby.
So
you've already won, basically.
I'm not saying a single thing. No one is clipping anything from this podcast to me at whatsoever. Talk us through this year in FC. Like, how have you seen things going?
Yeah, to me, I've been loving it. Obviously, being able to, I spoke about just doing what I love is always something that I won't take for granted, but from transitioning from playing to commentating is amazing. But although I do miss playing sometimes, like I miss the events itself, but the practice and the qualifiers to get to the events was horribly tough. Like people don't understand how hard it is. You obviously see the likes of Tex, Anders, whoever it is, get to the events, but the process of getting there is hard. And obviously that part I don't miss as much because in the last year it didn't go well, to be honest. But commentary side of things, yeah, I love it.
Do you ever think, maybe I could slide into players' DMs, maybe Shell's DMs and be like, I could coach you for this one, bro?
You know what? I always said I would never coach. Do you know what? I actually have a story about coaching. I coached one person before my entire history of...
And no one ever heard of that person again.
No, it was Tom Lees. Coached Tom Lees, at the E-Champions League in... I don't want to mistake the year. It might have been in 2018 or something, but it was a shocking...
Did that go for Tom Lees and you?
He missed out. He was one game away.
Oh,
but it wasn't down to me. It was purely down to him. I was a terrible coach.
Were you sat behind him?
Yeah, I was.
But what type of things do you say as a coach?
It's a difficult one because the reason why I wouldn't say I want a coach is because I think you have to give 110%. If you're not, there's no point coaching. But I think from my personal experience, I'd always want my coach to help me improve or focus on the mental side of things rather than the game. Because I always think, how can you coach me if you're not better than me? If that makes sense. Not in like an egotistical way.
I hear that.
But like, I don't want to be micromanaged. I just want to be someone that could tell me, all right, let's focus on what we always worked on. Because sometimes you can get tunnel vision, your mind just drifts off. I just need someone to help me reset and get back into it. But I think I'd be a terrible coach.
You've got to have trust, and there's a lot of research I remember seeing at one of the FC Pro events, one of the coaches turning up with like a map book with like a spreadsheet of how this guy plays. And I'm like, this is crazy. Yep. That shows how much the game's developed, right? The esports scene's developed. Like, this is real life now.
People turn up with full-on playbooks to the point where I feel like they're keeping the home printer industry alive.
Yeah,
because they're just printing out reams of information.
I remember years ago I played Desari and he has this coach. It was genuinely pages on pages on pages of research of how this person played, what moments they tend to attack in, and the ways they shoot penalty, just different things. And you think, wow, I'm not prepared. And that sort of goes in your mindset a little bit when you're playing. You're thinking, am I even ready to play against this guy when he's got everything from just every turn of that you're doing, he already practically has prepared for. So it's
like tough. You're inside that book.
Yeah, literally.
That is crazy.
Well, Ryan, you've just joined us from Germany. You were fresh from Cologne, should we say, because you were out there for the virtual Bundesliga by WOW Grand Finals. And all the players had their own walk-on music.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever seen that. I love it, to be honest. I'm a big fan of it.
What would your walk-out song
someone
be?
I actually didn't have an answer to this until Brandon Smith mentioned this song, right? I think I'd do All of the Lights.
All of the Lights. Yeah, I like that one. Like an AJ, Anthony Joshua style, right?
Yeah, that's what I would.
One of the big stories to come out from Cologne, because there were some huge names playing there, was Anders not making it through. He didn't even make the top four. And it was one hell of a shock. It must be so weird for you being there and witnessing him, I guess, not meet expectations.
In that game he lost against, it was actually against his teammate. It's the worst I've personally ever seen Anders play. Mm-hmm. And the scoreline was still close on paper. It was 3-2. But Levy Finn played a 10 out of 10 game. Genuinely flawless.
I feel like he needs to face someone who's not representing the same club as him, who he doesn't see on a daily basis, who potentially could give him that extra fire, you know, in his belly, because it was very respectful. It was 100%. I mean, the scoreline was close, but I mean, the game wasn't close,
not at
really.
All. And he already played Umut in that tournament as well, in the Swiss format. So he could have been out, because he was one win, two losses. One more loss and he's done. And he played Umut, he lost late on in that game as well. But as you said, I think he plays better and he's more amped up against players that he doesn't really have that relationship with, you know.
It was amazing. And obviously, we got to see Levy go all the way to the finals. It does mean that we're not going to see Anders in E-Champions League, which, to be honest, at the start of the season would have been unthinkable. But he has already booked his place in the World Championships. Mm-hmm. But if you think back to the FC Pro Finals, when Anders made it to the top two, he was the only player not to draft Haaland.
Yeah.
And even more so since then, we've seen the game shift into this aerial meta, but it's just a meta that Anders is still resisting playing. And I wonder if that's his downfall in a sense. It's not that he's mechanically insuperior to anyone, because he is mechanically superior, but he just doesn't want to play the same game as everyone's playing, even though he could play it better.
If you look at the fundamentals in the game, the dribbling, the manual pressing, the green time finishing as well, which obviously adds the mechanic aspect to it, but he perfects those to the highest standard, in my opinion, in the whole scene. I think he's the best at that. But when it comes to crossing, his teammate Umut, for example, any opportunity to dink the ball into the striker with Haller in the Virtual Bundesliga, instantly done. Whereas Anders would look to step over into space or just keep building up to try and get reverse Elastico in the box. But he doesn't cross. If he crosses, it's maximum one a game. I think he has to add that into his game in order to win something.
I mean, it's pretty remarkable how well he's done playing
without
that meta, because I think everyone listening to this podcast as a whole will know about Aerial Plus and will know about the need to cross the ball in. But Anders isn't doing it. And you know what? I agree with what you're saying, but I don't think he's going to change. I just think he's got this far in the game cycle. I just feel like he truly believes in the way he plays. And that's another reason to admire him.
Yeah.
But it's brave, because you have to adapt.
100%. I think adapting is what separates the top players from the elite players from the players that just the level below. The likes of, we've seen Nicholas in previous years gone by Tex. The game has changed year on year, but they still adapt. They're still at the top level. And that's because the new mechanics come out, they learn it, they adapt to the meta shifts when the patches come out every month or so when it does happen. But yeah, I think Anders should try and cross a little bit more.
We're going to be talking about Johnny more, but when you look at Johnny's game plan, he's not always scoring from crossing the ball, but his technique of opening up space in front of him, being able to do that, but then also do the crosses, also master those set pieces and draft for what's strong in the game at the moment, means that he currently looks like he's got a more well-rounded game to me.
Yeah, Johnny was superb. I'll be honest, he's someone that I would have played across the years in practice games and tournaments online. And he's someone that you'd hate to play against. Just because the way he plays, it's difficult, because he's happy to keep possession when he needs to. Yeah. Through balls are ridiculous. Crossing as well, corners, everything is almost perfect. So
the through balls that he does, is there a way to defend against them? Because sometimes he's seen passes that I've just not seen.
It's weird, because he played Umut, and we know Umut in the scene where we used to call him the Umut through balls, where the space would open up. You think there's no way that pass can make it, and Umut plays it and he's 1-on-1. Johnny was doing that against Umut. He was sort of playing his own game style against the person that sort of not created it, but mastered it. So I don't know. Johnny was formidable. I don't know how he was unbeaten. I'm sure his record was like 14
he was unbeaten,
or 16
two
wins.
Draws. Yeah. And then I'm going to bring up the stats here. So he got 14 wins and two draws out of 16 games. The other thing about him was he played 4-4-1-1.
Yeah. You know what? I love that formation. That's something he used to play. That and 4-2-3-1 second variation. They're kind of similar in the way they build up.
Second variation's the one with the
left man and
the
right man. Right. They're sort of similar in the way you have the centre forward or the kind of whichever variation you have that sort of supports the attack, but then you have them come back, so they help the midfield out a bit. I like that formation a lot.
It's 4-5-1's become a bit of a formation.
I like that as
well.
Yeah, this year there's a lot of variations you can do. You obviously 4-3-2-1 is the best.
Yeah.
It is the best.
Well, I mean, if you can defend and I can't.
Yes,
so.
Same.
Richard Buckley said something slightly controversial, I thought, on the broadcast. He said, if we flew in PH Zinir tomorrow, Johnny would beat him.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
That is a big call, Buckley. That's why
I had to do it in Buckley's accent, not my own, in case anyone got confused.
I don't know, but I'd love to see it. I can't wait for it. Hopefully, it does fall into place where they play each other.
Well, they could do, yeah.
They could easily. There's multiple events now where they're in the finalists for, obviously, the World
Cup. Because PH Zin's in Champions League because of Ida Vizzi.
Yeah, exactly. So it could happen. And I hope it does happen because
Richard Buckley. you've got a target on your back now.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, real life football is a massive part of our lives. And there was a member of the broadcast team in Germany who I think was either a Dortmund fan, but Leverkusen were playing. And as you know, Leverkusen have got this incredible record where they're undefeated. He was on the broadcast. And look, I respect this because if City were playing, I'd be checking my phone too, right? And he found out that Leverkusen had scored a goal. I think we can get the clip up on the screen for us all to watch. And I just want your opinion on this.
Jetzt. Nee, das gibt's nicht.
Minute 1-1. Was?
The phone goes off. The notification goes off and he grabs his phone. And look, that's it. But it's a pretty remarkable record by Leverkusen. But I mean, have you ever been in that position where you've been checking the score in a podcast?
Enough, same event. So when we were sitting on the couches, we could see like the Twitch chat in front of us. Mm-hmm. And obviously it was the FA Cup. It was Man United versus Coventry.
Oh,
and obviously
okay.
They were winning 3-0, but the chat were updating us. So anytime we'd go winning, I'd give a little fist bump thinking it was coming. And then it went Coventry 4-3. So I gave a little fist bump thinking it was done. Stream ends, and it turns out penalty shootouts, United won.
But you didn't get your phone.
No.
Shout out Leverkusen. Yeah. Another equaliser in the 94th minute, I think.
Yeah, done well in the virtual Bundesliga as well. Mm-hmm. With Mark, got his spot, top four, Champions League.
This is an opportunity for us to talk about offside trapping because it actually led to the downfall of Mark in his semi-final against Levy, where he failed the offside trap. He gave away a penalty, I think. So talk us through what the offside trapping is, how you can actually successfully do it, because surely that could be something that could counter the way that Johnny likes to play the game.
Yeah, offside trapping, I think, is a must. I think you have to offside trap when you're defending, but the ways to do it, to a lot of coaches, you've had Renzo in the past, you can't do it when your opponent is facing your goal. I was always taught when your opponent's recycling possession, facing away, then you offside trap, bring your defensive line up. But if he's facing you and he sees the defender step up, it's a simple through ball. Even you can just step over into the space or a ball over the top. So you have to, in my opinion anyway, the best ways to do it is when they're facing away from goal.
So from the opposite point of view, if you're attacking and you are facing towards goal, and it happens a lot in the weekend again, they're offside trapping you as you're facing towards goal. When I'm in that position, I just feel like I have to go sideways or backwards.
It depends. You have to be triggering your runs. Triggering runs again is so important because that forces them to offside trap.
What about the player lock?
Player lock's so important.
Yeah.
It's so important, but it's not easy.
No, it's
that
so
takes
hard.
Ages to master it. The cancelling of the player lock as well, which is very important just to sort of get into your opponent's head on, is he going to play the pass? Is he not? Yeah, it's so important.
So in other words, you've probably got a few things to master before you can do the offside trap.
Listen, I'll be happy with 11 wins, right, in the weekend league because it's very, very tough this weekend. It's a tough one.
It's fine. I thoughts and prayers for FG, everyone.
And everyone who's going through it, all my homies. Let us know in the comments below. I'm with you guys.
Well, let's move on to the final then. Yep. Let's move on to Johnny versus Mark. Because like one of FG's losing weekend league games, it was kind of a blowout.
Richard actually mentioned this. He said finals tend to be blowouts. And it's like, as a player, when you prepare for a game, so let's say you're in top eight. You know, if you win that game, you get Champions League. So the pressure's already from that point in the competition. You got Champions League. You win your next game, you've got a ticket to the World Championship. So the pressure's already intensified even more. And obviously the final is so important, the trophy, the extra prize money. But you kind of think, breather. I've sort of, I've not done what I've came to do.
My season continues.
Your season still, you've still got something else to rely on or fall, not fall back on. It's the biggest competitions of the season, but it's something that you can look forward to. But that separates, like, again, the elite players from, like, the level below, because in their mind, they're thinking, I'm not done. I need to win this trophy. I want the extra prize money. I want the fear factor, because you look at someone that's won a league and you think, yeah, he's the guy you need to look out for in this competition. But yeah, it was dominant. Johnny, it was crazy. The controller was put down on the 80th
minute. That's the biggest blowout.
That was the strangest thing. We were watching this and going, hang on a second, what's happened? Did Levy just put his hand up and say, I'm done?
He's just done.
Because the second game, I think it was 2-0.
Yeah.
It was basically 1-6-1 in the first game. They have to play the second leg. And Johnny actually just kept possession for the most part. He wasn't trying to superstar or anything. He was just going, right, I actually don't need to give this up now. I'm just going to, like, be properly chill.
That's the hardest thing, because let's say you're playing against someone. If I'm 6-1 up in a game, I'm a bit more flamboyant. I'm doing the skill moves to try and get an extra goal in or two to be a bit more, add a bit more flair to the attack.
Few cheeky clips.
Literally, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. But Johnny just kept the ball. He made sure that Levy got so annoyed that he thought there is no chance. Levy was slouched in the chair from the fourth goal because he sort of thought, all right, this is done.
That is a massive, massive lesson.
Yeah.
And yeah, his season continues, but is that potentially a good thing for him? Because he could then turn it into a positive, because there's still time.
Yeah, there's plenty of time.
There's plenty of time
E-Champions
to practice.
League, World Championship, yep, exactly.
For everything coming up. But yeah, that was a humbling.
I would rather lose a game like that than lose a last minute or on penalties, in my opinion, because you sort of... It's hard either way, don't get twisted, but it's just the fact that you kind of know that your opponent was just better than you.
At what point does what other people think play into it, though? Because you know when you're down in that second leg... and you're getting absolutely roasted, you can't do anything about it. At what point do you start thinking, this is just getting ridiculous and I'm going to get laughed at for this?
Yeah, but my approach would be, how can you laugh at me when I've reached further in the competition than you?
And that's
I'm in the World Championships. You're watching from home.
And that's what separates the rest from the best. All right, Ryan Fasola, I love that.
Almost every single one of those goals that he scored, it was just the nice
long
through ball. Clear shot, 1v1, the goalkeeper.
But it wasn't just that as well. It's like he also had the crossing in his repertoire as well. He was just whipping the ball in, knocking it down. It was, so hard to stop. It's this one here. This one here where he's tracking it the whole way. He was never going to manually intercept it. Never.
He's done it two times now. Tavella, 5-1.
I used to have this problem. It's a massive issue. This was like my... Yeah, I hated this about myself when competing, where in practice... I'm doing everything perfect in warm-up games. I'm taking the shots in certain angles that I practiced on, the skill moves. I'm not afraid to take power shots if I need to, whatever it is. But then in the game, I'm not taking it because I'm scared to lose the ball. Whereas Johnny wasn't afraid to lose the ball. He didn't care.
That's one of the really interesting things, though, about watching the different national leagues, though.
Yeah.
Because if you think about E-Premier League, you had a lot of players cycling that ball around the box, not actually daring to take the shot in case they lost possession, whereas someone like Tex and Bonanno, because they were so decisive when they did cycle the ball, you knew that they were going to score. Then you look at a player like Johnny or some of the other players, like Umut, for example, in the virtual Bundesliga, and you see players who go, right, I know I can score now if I take this shot.
Yeah.
There was no nerves in that sense. And it's been so interesting watching different nations and how they approach those kind of tense moments when they have that chance. Do they actually take it or not?
Yeah, exactly. And also the players are using like a lower rated goalkeeper than they wouldn't. I don't think any player used Neuer, for example, because there was a restriction where you could have two per club. So players would use Goretzka from Bayern Munich or Kimmich or Coleman, whoever it was, De Ligt. He was letting shots in that normally you would expect a keeper to save. But if you green time your shots, you're mechanically gifted enough to green time more or less everything, you're almost guaranteed to score. So yeah, he just kept taking the shots.
Ryan, one last thing on the virtual Bundesliga. What for you was the ultimate standout item?
I think it has to be Sebastian Haller, striker, aerial plus play style. We know how important it is in this meta where you have to knock down the ball in the air, crosses, back post. Even defensively, I think he was so important for all the players.
Will you stick around with us to talk about what happened in Italy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Oh, I just love this excuse to spend a little bit more time with FG and Ryan. The Virtual Bundesliga was not the only FC Pro League to go down last weekend. We actually saw the decider of the ECR Tim Finals in Fair Verona, where we sent Richard Buckley and Brandon Smith. And they were getting to know the Italian broadcasters. And actually, Brandon's done us a solid. He's actually hooked us up with Roberta Rebel, who was also commentating the action. Welcome to FC Pro 4 Chemistry, Roberta. How are you?
I'm super fine. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is FG and Ryan. I feel like you'll be familiar with Ryan. You might not know
FG. Yeah, you might not know me, but I like your setup anyway. Yeah. It looks good.
Io sono Frankie. We're very grateful to have you here. And first of all, tell us, what was it like down in Verona? How was the atmosphere?
We had basically 2 days of competitions. The first day we had the playoffs where all the teams involved played to reach the final eight. And then the day after we had the final eight. And I think this year the level was really, really crazy. So high.
Were there any surprises in players that didn't make the top eight?
Not in terms of players that didn't make the top eight, but we have seen crazy early eliminations because Danny Pitbull, which was the reigning champion with Juventus, lost against Fiorentina Esports with Virgil, and also Obrun. You may know him because... He has made a name for himself also in the international scene. Lost 7-1 against Torino with Lone, that is making his first competitive season in Italy at the high level, and made a crazy win against him.
Can I ask a theory about Virgil as well? Because in his quarterfinal and his semifinal, he basically seemed to hit his stride when he was awarded and scored penalties. It didn't feel like he was going to win that game, that quarterfinal against Antonini Gabriel, until he was awarded that penalty. And also his semi-final against Danny Pitbull as well. The game didn't really kind of take off until he had that moment. Knowing him so well as you do you think that was a key factor?
Yeah, I think so. You touched a really good point because in both games, especially during the first one versus Gabriel, he could have been easily like 3-4 goals down. But then the first penalty kick changed completely the game, and it happened as well versus Dani, because I think that Virgil trained a lot and improved a lot in his defense, because in our scene he's very well known as a really good attacking player. But especially versus Dani, I think that in the second half he defended like a demon.
Defended like a demon. I love that. Let's talk about the finals then, shall we? And maybe not so much defending like a demon. 15-5.
Yep.
That is, I mean, we've been talking on this podcast before about blowouts. That is absolutely insane. Firstly, Ryan, talk us through what you think.
Yep. I watched the first leg. For the second leg, it was done. I think it was
9-2
in the first 9-3. Yeah, 9-2. Hezes was unbelievable.
9-2.
Unbelievable. I think that was probably obviously his best game in the competition to win that way in a final. But we spoke about blowouts, Roberta as well, in finals where there seems to be a situation where one player just runs away with it, more so a lot of the time. Like, what was your opinion on that as well?
I think that Edzers had more that confidence in himself to be crowned as a champion. Virgil was basically done after the semifinals. Also during the interview, he was so relaxed, and I was a little bit expecting a huge result, because Edzers wanted that win so much. And as Ryan said, I think that not just the final, but I've seen him in LAN several times, and this one was his best tournament so far.
Hezes might have got a whopping 15 goals in the final, but he almost didn't make it past Luka in the semi-final, because until the last moment, he was down a goal, and then he scored 2 goals in quick succession. So let's take a look at those now.
Equalizer now from Monza. Yes, we might be. Ronaldinho, oh, see you later, goalkeeper. 4-4. It sort of goes the other way, doesn't it, Sal? Because you're either a little bit nervous or you're fearless. Hello!
Roberta, when that equaliser went in and it was 4-4, did you expect him to go on to win it as well?
When I saw the equalizer, I said he has to score because Luca is a bit struggling. And if he scores now, maybe he could go through.
Ribera, I wanted to ask you about the Italian style of plays, because quite a lot of the players were actually playing with a wider settings than we maybe see in the other leagues, say the Virtual Bundesliga on the same weekend. So tell me about what they're doing and why that is.
Yeah, for sure. We have seen during our finals a lot of switch of plays from a wing to another. And I think that it's really Italian in terms of play style. But in the end, the finals have been played by two players that plays completely different, because both Virgil and Edzers plays very direct, especially Edzers with those crazy L1 triangle lob to the strikers. And we haven't seen much maybe the aerial to overcome defenders and serve the attackers in one versus one situation. So yes, we have seen a completely different play style during the whole competition, but then I think that maybe the most unpredictable two went to the final.
Talk us through the draft restrictions, Ribera, in terms of the players that we're seeing drafted most often. Any items you think were maybe a bit underrated?
Yeah, we have seen several lots of Gullit, the future star version, because the football version, sorry. Because we had a free icon in our restriction, so it doesn't count in the money count that was 15 million for the finals. Then the total of the icons was three. So basically, in front was a choice between R9, Ronaldinho, and Thierry Henry. I think that maybe Ronaldinho was a key factor in the teams that were doing so good during the tournament, because Ronaldinho were scoring goals so much, as you have seen also before with Edgers. I think that the real underdog was still Bissek his future star version, because they couldn't use the Tots version, the team of the season, because it wasn't released yet. And I think that card is crazy good and was linking very good with Vidic in his Golazo version. Both very physical with their aerial, were super useful during corners. So I think that two players were the real underdogs, because basically also I think that in the upcoming tournaments, we will not see them so much.
What do you think of the future stars, Bissek? And how much is it? Do you know? FD normally knows this.
200k now, team of the season's out. So, yeah. I mean, he's got a much better item, which we'll talk about towards the end of the podcast. It is probably the best center half we've had in a long, long time.
But is it still worth picking up the future stars one if he ain't got that much coin for the team of the season? Which, face it, most of us probably don't.
I don't know if he's going to be a little bit outdated.
It still do a job,
because team of the season attackers are coming soon.
Yeah, that's the truth. And then it sort of starts to fall behind the power curve a little
bit. Oh my god, he's so good.
Yep. But so I think good. It's just that the height that he offers with the aerial play style as well, as Ribera said, not just offensively from corners, defensively as well. You can try your best to try and nullify an attacker. Vidic, as you mentioned, partners perfectly well with his stats in game. The play styles is perfect.
Do you think that Hezes is going to give people a lot of trouble on the international stage, Ribera?
I think so, because last year he was a runner-up in the Champions League, and that tournament, it's like his tournament, because he made it to the LAN event three times in the last four competitions. So I think that especially in that tournament, Edgers could be a big, big issue for everyone, but especially in the World Cup, that was a tournament that was still missing in his palmarès. He will train a lot because he's so dedicated and will be a threat for everyone.
Ribera, thank you so much for joining us. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you and to find out more about the E-Serie Team action. Grazie mille. And maybe you can come over for E-Champions League. Maybe just jot over to London. It's just a short flight, right?
Will be my pleasure, guys.
Yeah, you can cheer on Virgil and Pezzas in person. Grazie mille. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And have a nice day.
Now we have two more FC Pro League results and just two more to go. We should have a look ahead to eChampions League because honestly, Ryan Pessoa, the list of players that are going and coming to London, I should say, this year is just looking top notch.
Yeah, it's the top players from all the leagues, the FC Pro Open as well. So it's they've all deserved their spot to be here. So it's probably the highest level of competition we'll see so far. This season.
From me, Premier League. I feel like I should do a voice. Should I do Buckley's voice? From me, Premier League. Jaden, Marley, Matthias and Tex. I can't do your voice. We've still got to determine E-League gun. So that's actually coming up this weekend. E-Divisie, we got Emre, who is the reigning champion, who's going to be determined to keep that title for himself. Levy David, Manuel and PH Zin. Then La Liga is also coming up this weekend. So Ryan Pessoa will be there in person to witness who gets those spots. From Virtual Bundesliga, we've got Johnny, Levy, Umut and Mark. And then from E-Serie A, we've got Danny Pitbull, Hezers, Luco and we've got Virgil as well. So we've got an absolutely stacked tournament. It's going to be such a great preview for the World Championships because we're going to see all those styles come together. And honestly, my eyes are on Levy, but my eyes are always on Levy just because I think he's the coolest player we have, just mentally, but also just, he's just really cool. And I just feel embarrassed to be around him because I'm a dork, but And my dark horse is Marley. Is that weird? Is that weird?
It's not weird. Mark is incredible. I think he's been extremely consistent in the E-Premier League in years gone by as well, finishing runner-up before and obviously this year. It's a tough one because E-Champions League, the level is so high. I don't know.
This is the highest it's ever been.
Yeah.
This is, honestly, there's levels to it. Like, you're speaking of just from the players from the E-Premier League as well. You can't obviously forget about Tex and Matty. And then you're just thinking about everyone else that you just mentioned. Like, I can't call it. I cannot call this.
It's difficult because, I'm with you. I don't know because, as you mentioned, you speak about the players from the E-Premier League and then you've got the players that we just saw in the Virtual Bundesliga.
But the play styles are so different from each part of the world. I cannot call this. And like that is the beauty of it. So if you're listening to this podcast, get yourself ready for the E-Champions League because it is going to be some spectacle.
Yeah.
Well, I want you guys to choose someone. The reason I'm choosing Marley as my dark horse is because I think that the boys from Brighton, as seen in the E-Premier League, so Jaden and Marley, are known for doing technical things that other players don't even attempt, that possibly from the other nations don't even know about or just don't expect. And that's why I think as long as they warm up and they get a good start in the tournament, I think they can have a cracking run. Now, maybe Marley's not going to win it, but I just have my eyes on him to be an unexpected competitor, if should we say, for that top spot.
I think the winner's going to come from Holland.
You think?
Yes.
Well, that's such a brave and bold prediction.
SG, isn't it?
That's bold. That's all I'm going to say because I think, you know what? I'd like to see Manu.
Same,
back.
I love him.
I love the guy.
He needs that comeback as well.
And you know what? If there's someone who can have that comeback, it's Manu.
Yeah.
What a guy, by the way. And it's so tough because the players, like we have spend a lot of time with them on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. They're all great players, but these are serious competitors.
Yeah, they are. They don't want to win every game. I can't. You asked me for my prediction. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm going to say the winner will be from Holland.
Well, you know what? And this is even worse for you, Ryan, that you landed yourself in this situation. If you can't predict who, then who do you want to win it? Which, as I say, is even worse because you're in these players' DMs.
We're impartial.
Yeah, I'm impartial.
We want to see an unbelievable spectacle, which we're already going to get based on the lineups.
You know what? All right, how about this? I'll give you, my three highest. For me, the levels that I've seen the highest from all the players that I left in the competition or in the E-Champions League.
Can I just say, don't sleep on Jaden, by the way.
Jaden's incredible as well.
He's so good.
He's so good.
He is so, so good.
Yep. They're on my Brighton board now. And do you know how difficult it is for me to predict Brighton players, given that I'm a CPFC fan? All right? I wanted to see Shells there, but he's not.
Yeah.
And it's fine. We're not going to talk about Paul Shells and Nick Nebs. Justice
for them.
We need
to get Shells on the podcast. Shout out to Shells.
Yeah. Yes.
We love you, Shells. What a guy.
Continue with my point. Levy. Emre Yilmaz again. Mm-hmm. You can't text Matthias. I don't know. I have no idea. Even Johnny we just saw, if he continues like that, because it's sort of in closer proximity to the event than the E-Premier League, which was a few weeks ago, he is more recently coming into form. So maybe that could help him push on in the E-Champions League. And obviously he defeated the likes of Umut to get there. Umut in the competition, sorry. So maybe if he can continue that form and he's already beaten one of the favourites in another competition.
What about Umut?
You can't underestimate
him. Never underestimate.
But if he comes up against Johnny, though, he might be out again. Yeah, he needs to overcome that barrier. It's a bogey opponent.
Oh, it's going to be so interesting. I think, though, Renzo can prepare his boys for the likes of Johnny. And if you think about, actually, the boys who came through E-Divisi, if you think about your Manuel, if you think about your Levy, even your Emre, the defense is so strong.
Yeah.
Like, particularly from Levy, that his game is so balanced. I think he's one of the most balanced players out there. I think he's got enough time to work on his game plan against the likes of Johnny. So I think that's going to be super exciting. Also, at the end of the season, we've got the FC Pro World Championships. And so lots of the players who have qualified for E-Champions League have also qualified for the World Championships. Mm-hmm. But then also some players that we're not seeing at E-Champions League have qualified, like Vergang.
Yep.
And we were talking about Anders earlier and whether we think that he's going to change his ways, or I say adapt the way that he's playing in order to compete and stand a chance at that trophy. And maybe he doesn't need to. He doesn't really count as a young player anymore. Because I was going to say, is he going to be...
He's young.
He's not a new player, should I say.
He's not new in the scene. He's still, how old is he, 18?
18 years of age.
18, same age as Johnny is, I think.
Yeah, they're young. Young players, but I would love, I would honestly love Anders to win it.
If he wins that,
against
Peter
Zinn again.
We said we were impartial before, but if Anders wins that, the scenes we're going to see from that man, the expression of emotion. Honestly, I wish him all the best. It's the World Championships at the end of the day. We think the E-Champions League is a high quality. This is the best in the world competing, and that is another tournament that's just not going to disappoint.
Does Anders count as old guard or new guard?
I think he's new. I think he's new.
Tex is old guard.
Because I don't know. I don't know if Tex. I mean,
Tex has been to multiple
Anders has
world
been around for a very, very long time. But we have to take into perspective there was a period where he wasn't competing and still breaking records in the weekend.
He's new guard in terms of the ecosystem. Yes. But in terms of like the scene itself and the name value is obviously part of the old guard, because people would have heard about him 5-6 years
it's
ago.
It's crazy
records,
what this young man has achieved.
And he's
still so young. Yeah. And I'm so intrigued, and for all the other young guys to see where they end up at the end of their careers, because wow, we're lucky.
Yeah,
this esports scene is lucky.
Well, let me go through the names who have qualified so far. So Emre Yilmaz, Levy David, PH Zinn and Vergang, they all qualified right at the start of the season by coming top four at the FC Pro Open. Then E-Premier League, Matthias Bonanno and Tex. I mean, those boys needed that win, obviously for their own selves, but also to get their spot in World Championships. And I think that now they have, they're definitely going to be strong, solid contenders. From E-Divisi, Manuel, who did not qualify as part of FC Pro, but also Max, who is a teammate for PH Zinn and Levy. Because PH Zinn and Levy had already qualified, it meant their teammate from Ajax got the spot in the World Championship. So that's going to be really interesting. I don't know much about him, but maybe you can tell us about him in a moment, Ryan. Then Johnny and Levy from Virtual Bundesliga. So Levy Finn, not to be confused with Levy David. Hezers and Virgil from E-Serie A. And then, of course, thinking way back to EMLS, Defonso and K1 John.
K1 John.
Yes. And E Libertadores, Guy Barros and Nathan Essar.
Nathan Essar, Abu Maka as well.
And Abu Maka.
Oh my God, what a player,
so
by
good.
The way.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Abu Maka is
Abu
so
Maka
good.
From the Saudi Pro League. Yeah. Genuine. So we have got.
I think he could win it.
Quite the competition.
He will be
Abu
followed.
Maka.
I think he could win it.
Abu Maka will have an incredible support with him. So will the guys from the Libertadores.
Yeah, Nathan Essar as well. Yeah. Going forward, so good.
Mm. Oh my gosh, it's going to be incredible. That's another one. I mean, this is the time of the year. You think real life football gets exciting? Esports absolutely
steps
goes
up that next
off.
Level. It's just the level is ridiculous.
Ryan, now you've been commentating around the world in these different leagues. Which country is playing the best FC?
The best. Oh,
we've obviously got France and Spain still to happen. But me and Ryan did get a sneak preview because we're at the La Liga FC Pro Cup a few weeks ago. And Nicholas FC, if he does not qualify for the World Championships this weekend at La Liga FC Pro, I would be so surprised.
It'll break my heart, you know. Nicholas is someone that, even coming into the scene, I admire. Just the way he conducts himself, the way he plays, it's just a top professional. And he deserves to make it. But then, you have to overcome your opponents. If he doesn't, then, it's been a season where, even though he won the cup, he would have underperformed because he's not at the, well, if he doesn't make it to the E-Champions League or the World Championships.
I feel like what we saw on stage in San Sebastian was just the beginning for Nicholas. Yeah. There is a fire in that man. I mean, he was talking to myself and Brandon about how he wanted to destroy everyone.
Everybody.
He wasn't joking.
Yeah, straight face.
He was saying it so deadly seriously. Yeah. And then he won. And then he was talking to me on stage and said, see, I told you I'd destroy them.
Yeah. It's just that there's no, like, he doesn't really celebrate. There's no emotion. It's just, like, I've come here to do a job.
Still the Iceman.
Done, Iceman. Get it done and dusted. Give him the trophy.
All will be revealed.
Yep.
But it's so interesting because even in November at the FC Pro Open, he just, in those qualifiers, he never made it to the top 20. He just looked like a shadow of his former self. And I was like, well, this is the Iceman everyone's been talking about. He's just immovable. But I didn't see the glare. And now I've seen it.
Yeah.
And I think that everyone should be terrified of it. And then if we think about France, you've got Fuma.
Oof. Next. The Peixoto brothers as well. You've got the level.
You can't predict. You can't predict France. And based on your question to Ryan about what the best performing league is, I think France could well be it.
I'm gonna say
it's hard to look past
Eredivisie.
Yeah, it's hard to look past Holland. I was gonna say
Eredivisie
because of the preparation they all put in as well, which is massive. But
have to think though about. In terms of just generally how these leagues are being played, though, I have to say. And I think Eredivisie is slightly cheating because you've got four of the top players in the world. And there is, let's admit it, a bit of a gulf between those four and everyone else.
Yeah, yeah. If you're talking about the overall, where I think the level is...
Yeah, but they still do things properly, though.
Agreed. They're probably one of the best,
they're
if not the best.
The best. They're so regardless of... The best players in the world, they're for a reason. Because they're being prepared to win.
Yeah, the way that even just Renzo, any coach that... It's so professional.
Oh my
the way
gosh,
that,
it's unbelievable.
It's diligent. It's just that's the best way to put it. They put everything into it. And
they take
no
it
surprise.
Seriously. Yeah. And you'll see that a lot more esports teams will start doing that. They'll start taking things seriously because that's the model.
Agreed.
And that's what leads to success. And success is lucrative for the esports teams. And it's only going to get bigger because this is growing.
Yep.
So Eredivisie are winning the world championships this year.
I'm saying that.
I mean, I already predicted Levy in an earlier episode.
I'm with my boy Manny,
Sorry.
You know what? As I said, I want Anders. I want to see an Anders Peterson rematch. Yeah. However, there's something about Manu. It's like his story of obviously winning last year, the way he won it with the controversy, etc. But this year, underperforming to his level, he was mentally defeated.
He's had a lot of time in his head to think, and like you said, he has bounced back.
Yeah, because I remember I messaged him straight away after the FC Pro. I was like, you're a champion, you'll bounce back. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I want to do my best. And he done it. Ended up getting his spot for the World Championship. So I'd love him to do well. Levy as well. You can't ask me.
We're going to have this conversation again once more of those names have been locked in. Because right now, we need to talk about Team of the Season. This year... It's live, it's dynamic, and it started to roll out.
How has it happened so quickly? But we have got a promo before Team of the Season, which is Team of the Season Live, which is out now.
Yeah.
Which is based on real life results. What is your favourite item?
Havertz.
Yeah, he is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. However, I actually used quite a few this weekend for weekend rank one, of course. FG, maybe you don't know about
that. Who'd you get in your red picks?
Best player was Zaha. It was shocking.
Oh, Zaha's good though.
Yeah, but come on, man. I got rank one. I expect a bit. You know.
What do you expect? Jeremy Doku?
No.
Jeremy.
Give me Luka Modric, then I'm
bad
set.
Bad light, but Jeremy.
Bissek.
Yeah.
We spoke about him in the Serie A. It's crazy. It's so good. Robinson.
What about Nicolas Otamendi? Let me cook on him
for a minute. Didn't use him.
Leah Alexander as well. She's unbelievable Honestly, Nicolas Otamendi. Rolls back the years for me.
Where do you finish in the weekend league this week?
I've not finished.
You're not finished. Okay.
I've not finished yet.
Just wait. Use Otamendi and then come back and tell me you finished.
My record's 9-2. I'm not doing that bad.
That's not true. Are you being serious?
My record's 9-2, but I play 4-5-1 now. I'm a changed man.
No,
I
like that.
I'm not touching you down.
You said I was getting 10 wins. 9-2. You can't leave me.
All right. Only because I'm going to get better red picks than you. And I'm not 9-2. I'm 9-4.
I see but, to me. I take it back.
I should have sat in the middle of this episode because we knew the Team of the Season was going to be discussed at some point.
Can we just have a moment to just appreciate the live promos we've had this year?
So many.
Team of the Season Live is one of the most genius things I've ever heard in my life.
It's different. It's the first time we've seen it with Team of the Season. So it just gives you still have to pay attention to. I'm watching or paying attention to games that I necessarily wouldn't have watched. Even yesterday, Inter Milan winning, I'm thinking I'm investing my coins into Bissek and Yeah.
Ryan, do we have to confiscate your phone during La Liga FC Pro? Because I'm a bit worried that you're going to be like the guy on the virtual Bundesliga.
Training mid-game, just...
Yeah,
you did well during the FC Pro. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I won't forget that.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Honestly, shout out to EA for that one. And I'm looking forward to seeing the next team of the season, in particular the Premier League one.
100%.
I was about to say any predictions.
Prem.
Now, who are you looking forward to seeing in it?
Ooh, Saliba.
I knew he was going to say that. He's an Arsenal fan, isn't
it? Saliba. Declan Rice got to be in there as well.
Cold Palmer.
Cold Palmer, 100%.
100%. Cold Palmer.
Yeah.
He deserves that. And he'll love that as well.
Yeah.
He'll love that because
fan.
He plays FC a lot.
Yep.
Phil?
Mm-hmm.
Phil Foden will love it as
I love,
well.
I love how, because you're on first name terms with Phil Foden, you always just expect us every single time.
Well, there's only one player in
Phil.
The Premier League called Phil who's good, no?
Yeah, I think so. Phil.
Phil? Phil, yeah, Phil Foden, thank you. But yeah, I'm not. Honestly, like, Saliba will be a problem.
Yeah, I just look forward. I like the play styles.
We're going to have triple play styles.
Yeah, that's the thing that I like the most. It's different. Obviously, in previous, we've never had play styles. Mm. Now we went from one to two to three. I just like how it builds up and the excitement carries on.
Talk to me about the team of the season, Live Robinson.
He was okay.
He's good,
no,
bro.
But the thing is, I prefer Havertz in left back over.
Havertz, like, honestly, there is an SBC available in game. I hope it's still available in game whilst when you guys are listening to this podcast. But if you've done him, you just know how good he is. He's
different.
Good in the air. The only thing that's a bit is his medium work rate.
Yeah,
because he doesn't bomb on as much.
About,
he's just But he's so good on the ball.
Yeah.
Really good SBC.
I feel like I'm such a party pooper right now, but that is literally all we have time for.
Oh, yeah. Quickly before we go, Jeremy Doku, 99 pace.
I haven't used him.
Use him. He'll get you a higher rank.
Let us know about your team of the season items and who you would be using in the comments as always. Thank you so much for joining us, Ryan Pessoa.
No problem, my pleasure.
I'll see you in Barcelona.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Thank you so much for joining us, Ryan Pessoa. And thank you guys for watching. Also, FG, you were very good. Next time, we've got another couple of epic finals to break down for you. We will be talking about the Uber Eats E-League Earn and the La Liga FC Pro Finals. I honestly can't wait to see who's going to be locking in those spots for the E-Champions League and for the World Championship. So we will see you then. Don't miss it. I've been Frankie and he's been FG. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.
What, Ryan?
He just left me out.
I already said thanks to him.